You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving. At your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach. And see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
It's almost that time. Time for you to kick back, relax, and binge on some unturn-offable TV. You can start streaming the world's best shows on Binge. Like Ballers, Entourage, Game of Thrones, Raised by Wolves, and loads more. Start streaming now with a 14-day free trial for new customers at binge.com.au. Binge. It's unturnoffable.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cricket Unfiltered Winter Series. I'm your co-host, Andrew Mensel. Joining me, as ever, is Paul Dennett. Paul, how are you?
G'day, Menes. Great to be here. How are you?
Very good. Excited to have Jai Richardson joining us on the podcast today. You just heard him taking wickets for the Aussie team. Jai, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on. You know, 2 years ago, you were the Bradman Young Cricketer of the Year. You played two tests for Australia. You were awarded an Australian contract this year. You must be feeling pretty good about things.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind last couple of years, really. It's sort of, you know, I guess I didn't struggle, but the mental side of playing Shield cricket, all I wanted to do was get picked for Australia, and I was trying really, really hard. And it wasn't till a bit of advice from Adam Bogers that sort of steered me in the right direction. You know, I was trying to get picked so hard for Australia, and I wasn't really enjoying cricket. I was probably not performing as well as I would have liked or expected, I guess. And then he sort of pulled me aside and said, mate, I can see you're trying too hard. Just let go and enjoy the game. And that's sort of when everything happened. When I started getting picked for one day, started getting picked in the test side, I just enjoyed cricket a lot more. I was performing better. I wasn't stressed about it. Yeah, and then I guess everything all came crashing down in Dubai when I did my shoulder. And ever since then, it's just been sort of trying to get back on the right track, I guess, and trying to get back to playing test cricket.
I know you're sort of in the middle of your rehab at the moment. How's it going?
Yeah, really, really good. So surgery 10 weeks ago today. Yeah, I mean, it's going really well. We've taken a little bit slow just due to the nature of what was done. But yeah, everything's ahead of schedule so far. So couldn't be happier and hoping to get back. I guess the goal is December, Big Bash.
Fantastic. Now, we're starting off our winter series by asking each cricketer a couple of questions. The first one is, you know, what's your best moment in cricket so far?
Best moment. I think it would be easy to say cap presentation, baggy presentation. But I think if we look back a little bit further to junior cricket and my junior years, I think winning a title from where it all began at Jandakot Lakes Junior Cricket Club, I think winning our first premiership there, I guess it's just reminiscing on where it all started and remembering where you came from, I guess. So I think winning a premiership at Jandakot, definitely up there.
How old were you?
I would have been 13, I reckon. Would have been about 13. And then I think looking a little bit further, winning a Big Bash title. And then, yeah, baggy presentation. I think those three would be, yeah, definitely my top three.
And then on the flip side, what's been the sort of hardest moment or the worst moment in cricket for you?
I think stress fracture when I was about 15, because I think at around 15, all you want to do is just play cricket. And to miss a whole season through having a stress fracture, I think was extremely painful, because I think at that age, all you want to do is be outside. All you want to do is go and run around, kick the footy, bowl cricket balls, hit the ball. And I couldn't do any of that while I was going through that sort of rehab. So I think that would definitely be my worst memory, just because of the length of it. I mean, I missed a whole year of cricket. So I think the magnitude of that at that age, I think would definitely be up there with not the best memory, that's for sure.
Yeah, that age, all you're focused on is cricket. So it's ripped away from you. I was watching Amazon's The Test before this and saw you sort of describing the moment you got your first test wicket, that, you know, it all sort of came together for you and settled the nerves. Can you just sort of take us inside that moment?
I think you're so nervous and so excited to play test cricket. But the other side of that is you always have these things running through your head. It's like, what if I don't take a wicket? What if I don't get picked next game? What if I get smashed around the park? You know, all of these negative things come into your head, which is natural because you're extremely nervous and it's the pinnacle, it's your dream, right? So I think getting that first test wicket was more of a relief more than anything, just because, you know, okay, I'm here, I've got a wicket. I've actually got a stat next to my name. I think that's just, it allows you just to chill out and all these negative emotions sort of just run away, because your job's not done, but it's just a relief to get that wicket and know that it's been achieved, sort of thing. Because I don't think, and there would have been heaps of guys that have done it, but you play your first test match, you don't get a wicket, and then you never know if you're ever going to play again and you're ever going to get a test wicket again. So I think, yeah, relief is definitely the big one.
And afterwards, there was a funny scene where you were checking your phone and you had 100 messages and 800 new Instagram followers, which I'm sure has just skyrocketed since then. How have you sort of adjusted to that sort of greater visibility that comes with being an Australian cricketer?
I think it's just understanding that, you know, everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's going to have something different to say about you. You don't perform, someone's going to say something bad. You do perform. You can't get hung up on everyone saying nice things. I think it's really important to stay level-headed, you know, not getting too high, not getting too low. And also just understanding that everyone's watching you. You know, your social media, everyone's got an eye on you. You do something out in public, someone's got an eye on you. So I think it's just a bit of awareness, social awareness, I guess.
Because Glenn Maxwell said that, you know, some of the stuff on social media can get to him. Has it ever got to you?
Things like articles and news reports and things like that, not so much. It's when you start getting private messages and going through your private messages that people send you, I think, can sort of hit hard a little bit, because there's always going to be people that have something nasty to say, and no one ever likes seeing nasty things. You know, like I was saying before, there's so many negatives in the media, but everyone having an eye on you can also have a massively positive influence. You know, when you walking through the shops or going for a run or walking through the park and a little kid comes up and recognizes you and wants to have a chat and it makes his day. You know, those sorts of moments are the ones that really hit home and make you want to play cricket, I guess, because, you know, you can see that people look up to you and want to be like you. Seeing people in the nets, you know, wanting to go and join them in the nets because it would be a bit of fun sort of thing. I enjoy those sorts of things. I think, yeah, it's hard not to get caught up on the negatives, but the positives from it, I think, definitely outweigh it, for definitely.
It's a good attitude.
Just with regards to your relationship with Justin Langer, you've obviously had a lot to do with him. From afar, he seems to have a knack of getting players to take their games to a new level. Like Adam Voges and Manus Labuschagne seem to have become better players for working with him. What impact has he had on your career?
Yeah, he just pushes you. He challenges you to become as good as you can be. You know, if he sees something, you know, that potentially could be better or you're not doing to the best of your capability, he will challenge you and he will speak honestly to you about it. That's a big one that JL sort of goes by, is speaking honestly and having those hard conversations. If he notices something, he will tell you about it, which I think is fantastic, because I think sometimes people don't necessarily get that type of guidance.
Can you give us an example of something he's suggested to you?
I guess if you're just an example, say you're not feeling quite right at training or whatever, and it just seems like you're going through the motions, he will, you know, he'll pull you aside and go, you know, this is not what we're about. We're here to train hard. We're here to train with purpose. We've got something in mind that we want to achieve, and everyone's going to be on the same page, I guess. So he just, he's a fantastic coach. He knows how to get the best out of people, basically.
In terms of your own career, looking at, say, English fast bowlers of your age would have probably played many, many more games of first-class cricket because they have so many more games. Have you ever been tempted, you know, if injury permits, to want to have a season in county cricket?
Yeah, I think definitely. And I still don't think it's off the cards yet. Obviously, this year is a little bit different going through my shoulder stuff. But yeah, I think, you know, any experience is good, and especially overseas experience. Duke Ball in England, you know, that's quite important. You know, I've been over a couple of trips to India, and I guess it's just knowing what to expect. The more you play in India, the more you know what to expect. I guess the more you play in England, the more you know what to expect with Duke's ball and seaming wickets and that sort of thing. So I just think, yeah, I think it would be great to be able to get over there for a season, if for anything, just the experience and learning of it.
You were saying before, in your worst moment, you didn't bring up the shoulder injury or the dislocated shoulder in the UAE. For all us fans heading into the World Cup and the Ashes, it was, you know, really heartbreaking to see you ruled out of that winter. How was it from your point of view? Must have been, I don't know, tough to say the least.
It was. I guess the reason I didn't mention it is I think as you play a bit more cricket, as you get a little bit older, I'm still really young, obviously, but I think the maturity that comes with playing professional cricket, I guess you learn to accept things that happen. And I had always said that I wanted to play that brand of cricket. You know, I wanted to be that guy that throws himself around in the field, puts his body on the line because you're playing for your country. I always said that I wanted to be like that. And it was just unfortunate that, you know, that one incident happened. But if there comes a time again where I need to dive for the ball and my shoulder's okay, I'm going to do it, because that's the brand of cricket I want to play for Australia. That I want to put my body on the line to play for my country, because that's all I've ever dreamed of. So I guess that's probably the reason that I didn't mention it, is because if I had to do it again, I probably would, because that's just the way I want to play.
I guess the flip side is you don't want to be like Chris Lynn, where you end up with a shoulder that you can't dive at all.
No, that's right. That's right. So there's a bit of, you know, there's two sides to the story there, isn't it? There's the way I want to play, and there's the way that I might have to play. But we'll just see, you know, doing this rehab, everything's going good. So hopefully shoulders get back fine. And then I can sort of, maybe not to that extent, but sort of not be a liability in the field anymore, I guess. That's the best way to put it.
You mentioned the trip to India. It was quite an action-packed few weeks there. Can you describe what it was like, the sights and sounds of India, and also, I mean, starting right off with that first T20 when you're out there for the winning runs being hit, must have been an extraordinary experience.
Yeah, it was extremely intense. It was quite funny because that first shot, I remember that first shot that I played for four, sort of in front of square. It was funny because all I was doing in the change rooms before I went out to bat was practicing that shot, and funnily enough, he bowled it there for me. So yeah, that was an amazing feeling. I think the way to describe playing in India, especially T20s and one-day cricket, when there's so many people there, is just, if you ever listen to music too loudly, your ears go a bit muffled.
Yep.
That is literally what it's like playing in India the whole time. It's so loud. But then if we're doing really, really well, you can hear a pin drop. It's silent. So it's kind of two ends of the spectrum. They're either incredibly loud and you can't hear a thing, or it's really, really quiet. So it's quite a contrast, but it's also, if they're really quiet, you know you're doing well. So that's almost a goal to have, is keep the crowd quiet.
Did you feel like a rock star over there?
It's hard not to, because I guess, you know, when you're leaving the team bus to go to the grounds, there's people lining the streets for a kilometre or two down the road. Everyone sort of wants a piece of your time. Everyone wants a photo. There's people in the lift waiting for you just to take a photo in the hotel, those sorts of things. So it's hard not to. But on the flip side of that, sometimes in India, you just want a bit of privacy in it, and sometimes it can be hard to get. But yeah, it is really cool. India is a fantastic place. The people there are awesome. They just love cricket, as we all know. But yeah, it's really, really cool.
And what about the one day, as you came in for the three successful one days where Australia turned around a 2-0 deficit to a 3-2 victory? You had some success. You took some wickets. You also, like all the Aussie bowlers, copped a bit of punishment from time to time as well. What's it like bowling on those small grounds where it just seems like you've got almost nothing to give when the batsmen are dominating so much?
Yeah, it's really difficult as well, because a couple of the grounds in India, you play at altitude as well. So the ball travels a hell of a lot further at altitude. So, you know, I think Bangalore, from memory, is at altitude. We played a T20 there. I know, speaking about the one days, but just an example, you know, smallish ground, and then the ball flies. So you kind of know that you might cop it a little bit, but it's the same for both teams, right? So we know that whatever, say we're bowling first, we know whatever score that they get, we have to bat on the same pitch, we have to hit the same boundaries, you know, the ball goes just as far. So I guess it's even for both teams, but it is difficult as a bowler knowing that this could be the game that you go for 70 or 80 and not take a wicket because the wicket's so flat. It's tough, but they're the challenges that you face being a fast bowler anyway. It's just something that you have to come to accept, and all you got to do is go out there and try your best for the team.
What's the feeling like in the fast bowling group around the Australian team? You've got Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins, very tight from New South Wales, but it seems like with you and James Pattinson, there's a real unity among the fast bowlers. Just take us inside that.
Yeah, whoever comes into the team is incredibly welcomed. The fast bowling unit, they know and they respect that you're good enough to be there. They know that you've been picked for a reason. And it's not just them, it's everyone. Everyone in the Australian team knows that you've been picked for a reason. They trust the selectors and they trust you straight away. So there's no feeling of, oh, you know, this guy shouldn't be here or anything like that. They are incredibly welcoming. They'll do everything that they can to include you in everything that they do. So it's really good, and it's really reassuring to know that you've got a place there and no one's going to be doing or saying anything to take that away from you. It's all just one unit, like you said. Yeah, it's good. And it's like, it's almost like a little brotherhood, really. Everyone supports each other really, really well. Yeah, it's just a feeling of no one's ever going to do anything to put you down, basically.
That's good. Wes Agar said that he sort of really looks at the way Josh Hazelwood bowls as a sort of a model for him. Do you have any bowlers that you kind of look up to?
Having a little bit of experience playing with Paddy Cummins, it's sort of, he's just the textbook fast bowler, really. He'll do anything that Paney says. If he needs to come in and bowl 145, 150 bounces to rough up a batsman, he goes, yep, absolutely, no worries, I'll do it. And then if he needs to come in and bowl consistent outswingers to try and nick off a batsman and build some pressure, he's like, yep, I'll do it. You know, he's the class example of someone who's extremely adaptable. He's an example of someone who's resilient. You know, he's been successful for so long now. I think just seeing how he goes about his business and how he can change his game to a specific situation is incredible. And that's something that I think every fast bowler should look for, is being able to be adaptable for what your captain needs and wants at that particular time.
Yeah, I remember watching him bowl against actually Western Australia at the SCG last summer, and the wicket was doing nothing. It was just really hard to get wickets. WA was batting well. I think Sean Marsh was scoring some runs, and then Paddy just fired up before lunch and just got something happening when it didn't seem like there was anything going on, and changed the whole game. So I see what you mean. Also, I guess from sort of the injury standpoint, he, like you, hadn't played a lot of first-class cricket up until this age, but then once his body really sort of solidified and he grew into it, he's been a machine now.
Yeah, he has. And I think that just comes with confidence. I think the more that he's played back-to-back and more consistently, I think he's just been able to have more confidence in himself to be able to back it up. I think there would have been a period there, you know, where he was probably worried about whether or not he was going to get through the next match. But now that he's strung some back-to-back games and he's played for a couple of years on the go now, he's probably got confidence in his body to do whatever is required.
It's almost that time. Time for you to kick back, relax, and binge on some unturnoffable TV. You can start streaming the world's best shows on Binge. Like Ballers, Entourage, Game of Thrones, Raised by Wolves, and loads more. Start streaming now with a 14-day free trial for new customers at binge.com.au. Binge. It's unturnoffable.
When you came into the Aussie side, I was at the press conference in Sydney when you were picked for the tour of South Africa. You were all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. When you headed to South Africa on that harrowing tour, how much of a sort of, I don't know, a tough experience was it for you?
It was tough. It was. It really was. I think, you know, my girlfriend came over as well, and it just, the impact that it had on her as well, you know, media everywhere, media at the hotel, media following her, media following us. It was hectic. Everything was happening.
Did your girlfriend get any kick from the crowd?
No, she didn't get anything too bad, but it was more away from the grounds, you know, the media being at the hotel. And I feel like everyone feeling like they couldn't go and do anything or be seen anywhere. I think it was tough. But on the flip side of that, South Africa, if people haven't been before, and I'm going to go straight to a positive, South Africa is one of the most beautiful countries I've ever been to. So it was hard being in that situation, being in such a beautiful country, especially Cape Town. There's so much to do there, so much to see. I just feel like we almost couldn't go out and do it. South Africa, Cape Town, the waterfront, the mountains, the wildlife, everything is amazing. It's a beautiful country. And then, yeah, it was unfortunate. It was very unfortunate.
Did you learn a lot from that tour?
Yeah, it was very eye-opening. Looking back at it, as much as I would have loved to have gotten that last test match, maybe it was a blessing in disguise to debut a little bit later, have that extra time to mature a little bit, figure out my game. Yeah, maybe that was the big positive out of everything, was, you know, having to wait a little bit longer.
Certainly a bit more upbeat at the Gabba than it was.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So you're known as a gamer. You love the PS4. Same here. And are you still a teetotaler?
What do you mean by that?
Oh well, I know that you know when you came into the Aussie side, you said you didn't drink a lot, and I'm just curious if you still like that.
Yeah, still exactly the same. So still look forward to getting back to my hotel room to go and play games and spend some time by myself. I know a lot of guys on tour hate going back to their hotel room because it's boring. But I guess with gaming, it just gives me something to do at any time of the day. Like if we're stuck at the hotel, then I've always got something to do. As for drinking, still exactly the same. Still don't drink. And I think now everyone's really respectful of that, which is really, really good. I don't feel any pressure to have to have a drink or anything like that. Everyone's quite happy offering a Diet Coke here and there. So all of that's still really, really good. Yeah, still basically exactly the same as...
I think that's great because, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, if you came onto the Aussie team and you said you weren't going to have a beer, everyone would look at you with shock and horror. Yeah. You know, I know you're not the only teetotaler in the Aussie team, and Pete Siddle just retired. There's been a few.
Yeah, I think it's a good example, and I'm not trying to sort of talk myself up here or anything like that. That's not how I want to come across, but I think it's a good example for for any Australian who feels under pressure by their peers or anything, it doesn't have to be like that at all. And the Australian team's a perfect example of acceptance. You know, they have never questioned it. No one's ever put pressure on me to have a drink or do anything I don't want to do. So I think it's just good to know. And if anyone wants to, you know, if anyone needs to look up to that or have an example to sort of say, no, that's not what I want to be about, then I think the Australian team's perfect for that.
Just what video game are you playing at the moment?
Well, I'm stuck on Call of Duty at the moment. I'm in between games a little bit, playing a bit of Rocket League, just in between. I'm sort of in between games at the moment. It's going to sound bad, but do you know Tom Clancy's The Division?
Yes.
So I played the first one for 2,000 plus hours. I was obsessed with that game. And now sort of since that's, didn't get into number two. And now I'm sort of in between. Like I don't have a game that I'm stuck on. So I'm sort of.
Yeah. Well, I just won the domestic one day cup with New South Wales.
Perfect. Did you make your own character?
No. I did enjoy batting a smudge, though. Jeez, he is pretty good. All right, so we're ending all these interviews, Jai, with a quick sort of quiz. You become the god of the cricket laws. And so basically you get to decide on these rules. So, Paul, you kick it off.
All right, firstly, what do you think of four-day tests? A fan or not?
First thing that comes to my head is no. It takes away the traditional part of the game. I think five-day tests. And I think with four-day tests, you're probably going to see less results, aren't you? So keep it as five-day. Keep getting some results, I think.
What about the number of international players in the Big Bash? I think it should be increased from two, maybe to three or four per side. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't mind that. I think if it's going to bring more people to the game because we've got more people that they want to watch, I think definitely bring some more in. But on the flip side of that, takes away a couple of positions for our local guys too. So,
but you must gain a lot from playing with better players. I mean, you personally, if a great import comes into the side, then you inherently improve a little bit.
Yeah, an amazing example of that was actually last year. Chris Jordan came in and he's got a healthy line of experience behind him. He was great, especially for the campaign last year, just providing a bit of clarity because he was always at mid-on or mid-off. So he would always sort of just give you that reassurance of what to bowl, when to bowl, just based on his experience. So he was fantastic in just providing a bit of clarity for our younger guys, me especially. So yeah, he was great. So I can understand bringing more people in. I think it would be strengthening the competition. But I also, now that I think about it, don't like the fact that it would be taking away a couple of positions from our local guys who have worked hard to be there.
Comparing the WACA and the new Perth Stadium, I was there when you guys won the Big Bash against the Sydney Sixers a few years ago. The atmosphere was superb. I haven't been to the new stadium yet, but from afar, it looks like maybe it doesn't quite have that same magic of the WACA. Do you wish you could go back to the WACA?
Partly, yes, partly. But I think the stadium is still really, really loud. I guess the thing that the WACA brought, the sort of feel that the WACA brought was all about sort of family, sitting on the grass banks, sort of picnic style, all the fireworks and stuff. Because I feel like the WACA was so open, it kind of just had more of a, it's hard to explain, like a more of like a relaxed vibe. It almost felt like you were playing not in a stadium. Does that make sense?
Cricket. Whereas,
yeah.
Not a football ground.
So yeah, exactly. But the plus side of the stadium, I mean, we're getting more people in than the WACA. It's still just as loud. You know, you still feel quite engaged with the crowd. The crowd's still quite close. But yeah, the WACA, it's hard not to miss the WACA, really. You know, with all the history and everything like that, it's hard not to miss it for sure.
What about the Duke's ball? It's been scrapped for the upcoming Shield summer. Is that good or bad?
The few times that I've bowled with a Duke ball, I've enjoyed it. I think looking back, it would be fair to say that the bowlers enjoy bowling with the Duke ball a little bit more. I think it just keeps them in the game a little bit more. The few batters that enjoy facing the Duke ball as well. You know, the guys that really embrace challenges. One that I can think of straight away is someone like Cameron Bancroft, who embraces challenge. He loves facing Duke ball. But I don't think, even with the Duke ball favouring bowlers a little bit, I don't think the scores were hit too hard last year when we played with the Duke ball. So I think it's good. I think if it makes the bowlers feel like they're in the game a little bit longer, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that they've taken it away, because I think that the fact that it swings a bit more does give batters around the country just that extra bit of a test sometimes. And if you go to a place like England, South Africa or New Zealand where it swings a lot, it's not going to be as foreign as it might have been.
Yeah, I agree.
And what about DRS in the Big Bash? Would you like to see that brought in?
Well, I don't mind it. But I think the reason why people like the Big Bash so much is because it's so fast-paced. I feel like if there's a DRS decision, yeah, it creates a little bit of anticipation for the crowd, but I think it also takes away a little bit from the fast-paced nature of the game, potentially. You know, you sort of forget about bad decisions rather quickly anyway. I'm sort of on the fence about it. I don't mind either way. There's been a couple of decisions where I wish I had it, but there's also been a few that I wish we didn't. So it goes both ways, doesn't it? It doesn't bother me either way. It's probably not something that will affect me. It's more about what other people think of it, I guess, whether or not they think it's going to take too much time out of the game or they want to see better decisions. I don't know.
What about the best batter you've ever bowled to? Who's the one that just, you're right, this guy's got more time than anyone else?
Virat Kohli, without an absolute doubt in the world. He bats with so much energy, and you can just tell he's on a different level to anyone else you bowl to. Even in the Indian team, when you've got the Rohit Sharmas, all of those guys, he is on a different level. He hits the ball in areas that you just can't even imagine. And he's running between the wickets. He's just full of energy. He's a little energizer bunny, and he just runs and runs as much as he can. And you can tell he pushes the other guys in the team to sort of step up when he's batting with them. He's unbelievable. He can change a game like that.
Wow.
Has he got a real charisma about him and a presence?
You can just tell he's, from ball one, he's ready to fight. He's in the contest. And there was a few times I bowled to him in India post their Australian tour. And as soon as I'd come on to bowl, it's like he just wanted to take me down straight away. He was in the fight from ball one. And I felt like I was on the back foot straight away, because he was just, his presence there was so full on, and like he was ready to come at me. He made 100, so...
But that's a compliment for you, because you got him out a couple of times in the one days here, so he was obviously trying to assert his authority over you.
Potentially. I kind of saw it a little bit different. I sort of saw it as, you know, I'm the young guy with a bit of beginner's luck sort of thing. But that's kind of the way that I took his attitude, that he's like, you know what, you're still young, you're still unestablished, I'm going to get on top of you and sort of destroy your confidence sort of thing. That's how I sort of took it from him.
Well, when you're bowling 145 clicks, it doesn't look like beginner's luck from the outside. Little FYI there.
Fair enough.
Well, Jai, thank you so much for joining us on the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. It's been such a pleasure to have you. Best of luck preparing for everything and getting back to bowling.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jai.
And that was Australian speedster Jai Richardson joining us from Perth in Western Australia. And that's another edition of the Winter Series done, Paul. We've had some great talent so far. I've really enjoyed this series.
Yeah, it's been great getting a lot of different perspectives, and great to talk to Jai Richardson. You have to think that with any luck, him still being in his early 20s, that the next 5 or 6 years, he could become a fixture in the Australian side in test matches and other formats. And so... really exciting few years ahead. So great to talk to him.
Yeah, in a few years, there could be Wes Agar and Jai Richardson opening the bowling for Australia. Just want to remind you all, you can find us on social media at Oz Cricket Pod. That's AUS Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram. We're also on YouTube as Cricket Unfiltered. We have our weekly show now going on YouTube every Thursday at 5:30. So tune in to that live, but it's there all week for you to watch. And yeah, thanks for listening to this edition of the Winter Series. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, mate.
Goodbye, listeners. Back soon.
It's almost that time. Time for you to kick back, relax, and binge on some unturn-offable TV. You can start streaming the world's best shows on Binge. like Ballers, Entourage, Game of Thrones, Raised by Wolves, and loads more. Start streaming now with a 14-day free trial for new customers at binge.com.au. Binge. It's unturnoffable.
Looking for a new podcast to listen to? Here's what we love, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Hey, I'm Bert from The Bert Show. You have people on a show that really don't like morning shows.
Stealing an entire school bus. I gotta be honest, that is my dream still.
Why take initiative when you can take a nap?
I like keeping it real and I like keeping it gross.
So we created a show that we really wanted to hear. It's real and it's funny, and we will talk about our personal lives. We're not scared of anything.
Okay, if you want this prize right here, you're gonna have to work for it.
What I love most about this show is everybody's vulnerability.
And though our perspectives may be different, working together is actually fun.
We put the fun in dysfunction.
I think it's unlike anything that you've heard before.
The Bert Show. New episodes every weekday and the weekly top 10 on Saturdays. Listen to this show on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast recommends.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.